Well, good morning and welcome to the end of May. It's going to be June on Tuesday. I can't believe it. Someone's excited about the summer, right? School's out. A lot of change going on. May's wonderful, except for the allergies. I don't know about you, but I got the sniffles. I mowed yesterday and I can't breathe. And I've taken so much Mucinex, it's not even funny. But, so I'll try not to suck in the sniffles as much as I possibly can avoid. But May is kind of a great month. As the summer comes, school ends. We just celebrated a lot of college graduations. We had four of our college students graduate this semester. And then we have 12 high school students graduating this Thursday. So, yeah, that's awesome. So we'll celebrate them as this week is coming up. But change is one of the most inevitable things of life. No matter what, you can't avoid it. Change is going to come. Right, the high schoolers are getting real nervous because they're like, yeah, summer's here, but this isn't a normal summer. It's a summer and then somewhere else. College students that just graduated their first time, that's going to be, I don't have to go to school. There's not something right after this. It's the first time they really have to find a job and support themselves. And for many people these days, it's finding a new job. The change of going single to married or children or divorce. Or the unfortunate circumstance of death, the change is inevitable. But how do we handle that change? That's always the biggest question we get. How do you know what to do? How do you know what job to take? What school to go to? When to buy a house? When to buy a car? What do I do after death? Can I trust this person? Learning to make wise choices is very difficult. And obviously, there are some people who just naturally make good choices, and which sometimes are the most frustrating people because they always just get it right, and that's kind of hard for me because I'm like, oh, I wish I was that person. But it's good to learn from those people. But it's also a gift given for many different reasons. So if this is your first time joining us, the last couple weeks, we've been walking through 1 Corinthians 12. So if you want to go ahead, you can turn there. It'll be on the screen. But we've been walking through what are spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit to the church for its edification, for its building up, for its growth, for its embetterment. And today what we're going to talk about is discernment or testing the spirits. It is testing the spirits is actually the most accurate way to say that. In some of your translations, it may say discernment. It's a thought-for-thought translation for that. But testing the spirits to understand what is of God. But if you would, we'll read verses 4 through 11 of chapter 12. If you would stand as we read the word of God. In verse 4, it says this. It says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the spirit of utterance of wisdom, another utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, another gift of healing by the one Spirit, to another the works of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one of individually as he wills. You can be seated. The difficulty with gifts, especially Pastor Jake could probably attest to this, usually when you prepare for a sermon or if you've taught at all and you've worked through a passage, it's difficult because when you have to live it out for a while, the practice comes into it, and you see the faults, and sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's a blessing because you become more in tune with it. I would say the spiritual gifts one, I'll say at least for me, has been hard because I had to deal with some of this stuff, and understanding discernment and especially testing the spirits has been difficult, and if I'm completely honest with you, when I walked in today, it felt very dark. Like it just felt like there is this coming of pain and confusion and hurt. And that's just basically the case of America, it seems like, at the moment, but especially the church, where there's just a lot of pain and disunity and a lot of questions and a lot of need for clarity. And so what I would like to do just for a moment is for us to pray together. For us to pray for clarity and for words to be true, because we're going to talk about this in a minute. I have to pray for my own words to be true because just because I may say the right things and my actions aren't following it, I'm still in the wrong. And so my message, hopefully today, is not just one of words, but of action. And I want that to be true for all of us. So just for a minute, just pray. Just pray for the Holy Spirit to come and teach us and to work in our lives, and I'll pray for us in just a second. God, as we come before you, God, we seek your wisdom and your guidance. God, we seek that your word would just change our lives, not temporarily, but permanently. Holy Spirit, that you would come and bring peace and wisdom and guidance and discernment as you're calling your people to take steps. God, whatever that may be, God, may it just be in wisdom and in accordance to your word and to your will. God, that we wouldn't reject you, that we wouldn't let fear dominate our minds and our thoughts, God, but we would rely on you, knowing that your purpose is greater. God, may we be your people. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So far we've talked about the Holy Spirit. We've talked about wisdom. We've talked about knowledge and faith and healing, miracles and prophecy, and now as we get to discernment. And all these things entwine to one another. Because again, they're from the same Spirit. And I think that's one of the battles that we have, especially the church today, is we like to outdo one another. As Romans 12 does say, we should outdo one another in service and in love. But sometimes we like to outdo one another in greatness, and it becomes a testy subject. And so these gifts all work together for the glory of God and to the building up of the church. But we're going to ask three questions today, and we're going to answer them. The first question is, what is discernment? The second being, what is the purpose and correlation to the other gifts, so how all these work together? And the third is, how do we use it today? What's the practicality of this gift, and what does it look like for the church and us as individuals to practice this? So what is discernment? And if you look it up in the dictionary, it just says the ability to judge and to understand, to look at a situation or a person and to see what it is. Biblically, if you look at all the scriptures that use this, the reference is more of to recognize and understand if someone or something is or is not of God or in accordance of his word. And so that needs a little bit more explanation, but the best way to explain certain things is with examples. So one example is in Acts chapter 5. You can turn there if you so desire, but I'm just going to paraphrase the whole chapter because it's the whole chapter. But Peter, this is one of the subjects where people are like, man, we want to be like the old church, and the church is just exploding, so people are being saved. And people, and chapter 4 ends with, and they gave up their lands and their rights to give to the meet the needs of all the saints. And then there's this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, who are around in that time, and they see everything, and they go, we want to be a part of that. So they sell everything, as everyone else is doing, but they keep a portion from themselves. And they go to Peter, and they're having a conversation, and the Holy Spirit speaks to Peter, and Peter's like, something's not right, and asks him if this is all they have. And they go, yes. And he goes, are you sure this is all you have? And they're like, yeah, this is all I got. You have all of it. In reality, they kept some back. And all they had to say was, well, we kept some back, would have been fine. But because they didn't, because they lied, and Peter understood and was in tune with the Holy Spirit, he was able to call them out. And because of their sin, they were punished for it. You see, the part of discernment is knowing when people are doing the right thing with the wrong motives. It's a very good example for us to understand, and we're going to talk about that more as we go on. But another one is the misleading of other people. In Acts chapter 13, there's a Jewish council, and they're asking Barnabas and Paul to come speak to them because they want to understand what all the fuss is about. And there's also this guy named Elymas. His actual name is Bar-Jesus, which is a weird name. But his name is Elymas. He's a magician. And he goes also with his council. And we read in Acts 13, verses 8 through 10, it says, but Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them being
Barnabas and Paul, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of a devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" And then he's punished for his sin. Now, one, I like this verse because Paul calls somebody the son of the devil. And I don't know why, but I found that hilarious, and I kind of want to find a reason to use that. I don't think I should, but I would like to find a reason to. I'm going to refrain from it. But he has this discernment where he sees someone going to where the Lord is leading him, and they're meeting him there, and he sees the spiritual opposition. And though Elymas is trying to turn them away from the faith, these people don't know. They're just trying to understand, and there's a lot of that going on. Where many people in this world today, you may be one of them, are looking for truth and understanding, and there are a lot of false teachers out there that have good things to say, somewhat correct things to say, but they're twisting the truth just enough. And the church, you and I, and the gifts that the Lord has given us, pray for discernment to help those stay away from false teaching. And these are just two examples of what that opposition looks like. But we have to understand it. And yes, it is a gift, but it also can be learned. There's the natural aspects of it, and then there's the growth in it. The second question we have to ask is, what is the purpose and how does it correlate to these other gifts? And the first one is we use discernment to help understand the rest of the gifts. In 1 Thessalonians, I can never say that correctly, Paul says this in chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. It says, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the prophecies, but test everything and hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil." This kind of gets into that piece of where it gets a little confusing. Because even if we talk about this, and Pastor Jay mentioned this last week, we talked about prophecy, is many of us have different definitions, and we try to, this is why we have so many denominations. We have denominational splits over certain words and what that means and what it looks like. And so we battle through, and discernment, just as wisdom and knowledge, helps us understand the rest of these gifts. Because again, we are to test the spirits and not despise prophecy. I always think of earlier in the life of Jesus when there's a man who's casting out demons and the disciples get mad at him. And they go, "Jesus, he's not with us, but he's casting out demons." And Jesus is like, "Well, is he following us? Is he doing stuff in our name? If he is not against us, he is for us. He can't do that without this power." But so many of churches today still have the same problem where they go, "Well, they're not with us, and we don't like their doctrine. We don't like their beliefs, and they're wrong because of this thing, and we don't test it. We don't take the time to learn and to understand." And in fact, we're very quick to call people false prophets or false teachers. If you ever spend any time on YouTube, you will see tons and tons of videos that will take a clip of a person and go, "This is why they're a false teacher." And it's about 10 seconds. They look at one thing. Because they just go, "Man, I want to become popular. I want to show that I'm right. I want to show that I'm correct." And they don't actually test things that are said. They don't use wisdom and discernment to go, "Okay, let's see who this person is. Let's work this out." Because a lot of times, we just jump the gun. Learning and praying through these things is key. Because the gift of discernment, again, the Spirit is moving. It is alive and well. But yet, we are warned not to quench the Spirit, not to be hasty. And honestly, I think about this when it comes to the leadership within the church and how we choose leaders or who the people get lifted up to those positions. Because a lot of times we see leaders who are good-looking, who are charismatic speakers, who are great goal setters and trendy dressed people. But we never look for just the normal servant, the one who is out there working hard and spending time in the Word. Because we have to test these spirits because, again, just because we can say the right thing, just because they say the right thing and there may be 10,000 people at one spot and five at the other, doesn't mean the 10,000 church is right and that the five is wrong. Discernment and testing the spirits and the prophecies and holding fast to what is good is a difficult thing, but is a thing that is worth to be valued, especially when it comes to leadership within the church. Because again, leadership in the church is not just a title, but is an action. And in fact, I'll say this, we as a church need more leaders. A true leader develops more leaders. And some of that, I will definitely say that there's this fear of walking in leadership. And honestly and rightly, there should be. In James, it tells us that those who teach will be judged more harshly. When you look at the roles and responsibilities of the leaders, there are some strict guidelines to those things. We see that in Acts and in Timothy. And being able to discern and test the spirits and the fruit of their labor is a wise thing to do. And that's something that we should all do. Again, this is not just for Pastor Jay or Pastor Aleem or myself to work through or the other elders, but it's you and I as the body of Christ to work through and seek out the discernment. And again, in 1 John 4, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into this world." I'll have to be honest with you. I always, every time I read 1 John 4, I always wonder if I'm a false prophet. And not to degrade myself, as some of my students like to give me a hard time and say that I do a lot. But it's just this question that keeps me in check. Because the false prophets, we typically, or at least I'll say this, as taught being grown up, that's not good English. As growing up, we were always taught that false teachers are very easy to spot. That if the devil's at work, you'll absolutely know it. But the devil comes as an angel of light. Many false prophets are convincing and have what the good attitudes and the ability to speak well and the charisma that we see so often. Nobody is ever like, man, that guy is a bad guy. He's a terrible leader. I want to follow him. Because if that was true, John would be like, they're bad. Don't follow. Easy. But he's saying, watch out for these deceitful choices. Because they're going to use these gifts that we've studied the last couple weeks. They'll be given and they'll show and be able to mock them. And we'll go, man, yeah, that's good. They're very wise. They're very knowledgeable. Yeah, they're good to follow. And I think that's why this discernment is kind of near at the end of this list. Because in order to completely understand those above us, those gifts precede these, having the discernment to knowing which is a true gift and what is a false gift is so weighty. Because no matter what, we will be affected by these things. We see it all the time. If we had set time to go through biblical history and see all the false teachers, if we had time to sit down now and look at, man, let's look at the fruit of this labor of this pastor here or here or even my own life and see what is true and what is false. Because again, this doesn't just affect one person. It's from the same spirit for the glory of God and his body of believers. To work through these things takes time, though. It's going to look different for everybody. As we talked about with the gift of healing, it may be through the doctor, it may be through the prayer in the moment. The way that prophecy may look or wisdom may look, these things look different. So we have to always be on the lookout. So how do we use discernment today? Again, I like I said earlier, I talk to so many people. My favorite one is always when people talk to me about marriage and they're like, well, how do you know when you find that one person? How do you know that's right or wrong? And everyone has the same answers like, yeah, just know. You just know, and it's hard to explain. And I kind of feel that sometimes about discernment. But how we use it today is extremely important. In Romans 12, one of my favorite passages, and in fact, people make fun of me because I probably use this every sermon in some way, shape, or form. But in verse 12 or verse 2, it says this. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." I love this verse. I mean, I love chapter 12 as a whole, but because this verse begins with, "Do not be conformed to this world." Because we look at businesses and corporations, and we bring those ideas into the church, and we believe that their wisdom and their discernment of how to flood the market, how to outreach, how to do this, and we go, "Man, that is good and successful." We bring that in and try to make it godly and dress it up. In order to get to this point, to use this gift well, we have to stop trying to be of the world. And I know, again, Western evangelical Christianity is like, if people just see how we live and know that we're normal people and that we're really cool, they'll want to come. The reality is, Jesus himself was like, people saw me, my wonders, my love, and rejected me. And so learning how today what success looks like, it's not everyone's going to love me, but it's how faithful are we? Knowing that we're not of this world. And it goes to, again to say, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How does one renew their mind? How does one be transformed? They spend time with Jesus, spend time with his people, with the body of believers to uplift them. It takes the effort. Again, a good gift is wonderful, but a good gift can be taken away when it's abused. Pastor Jay always uses this example of, man, when Eric would come in and ask for something, and he wanted to bless him, but if he didn't do what he asked, he didn't want to bless him because he didn't be obedient. I think about how many blessings were taken away from my parents when I got in trouble because they said, yes, you did good, but you can't receive this good thing if you keep using it wrongly. And that same thing applies to us today when it comes to these gifts. But renewing of your mind is not letting your guard down, but putting these things into practice so that we can learn what discernment is. Again, yes, it is a gift, but it's a gift that is grown and continually used. And so many people want to go, man, I got the gift of discernment, I'm good, and I go. But it's the testing, the practice of it, so that you can understand what it is, so you can understand what the Word of God is. The most difficult part of life is failure, especially when you feel like you failed in a God moment. But if you ask anyone, there's going to be times where you go, man, I really thought God was calling me to do this, and he wasn't. And that's how I learned how to get to where I understood God's voice. It's the practicing. It's the renewing of your mind, being in tune. And then again, in the rest of 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." The gift of discernment is knowing the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's a gift that, again, we need this today. to understand what is something that is worth fighting over and what's not. And honestly, I'll say in my case, I have a lot of lack of discernment in some of the things that I argue over. That sometimes feels like a deal-breaker, and it's just not. And if I confess to you and I ask for your forgiveness, my pride has gotten in the way of some of this. And I ask, as one of your pastors, just for your forgiveness in that, of my pride blocking some of this out. And it's not a young or an old thing, it's just my human nature and the things that I see. But it's the renewing of the mind, because it even goes back in 1 John. If you know the word of God, you will be able to hear this and see it. In Revelation 2:2, as John is writing and the Lord is speaking through John, he writes the letter to the church at Ephesus. Though it does end kind of rough for the church at Ephesus in this letter, one of the cool things I think about it, and because he says the good thing first, he says in verse 2 of chapter 2, he says, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but you have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. Today, one of the big things that we talk about is unity within the church. And I'm a fan. I think having unity in the church is a good thing. Don't hear me say that. I think it's wrong. But we sacrifice a lot of things for unity. We accept a lot of things for unity because we don't like conflict. And one of the things that we see here in Ephesus is that they test them and they determine them to be false. And they remove them. There's a difference between opinion and fact. Opinion we can work out. But when we start to accept false and evil things, we have a problem. From teaching all the way to TV. Yeah, the teaching one's easy, but the TV and what we put into our lives, because eventually it comes out and overflows within the rest of the body. And again, if you read the first part, it says the toil, impatient, and endurance. Because honestly, when I began this study, all I thought was, it's a gift, we get it, we're good, we're moving on. But discernment, when the gift is given, it's still put into practice and into labor. And there's going to be error in my own. And we have to endure and be patient. And I always wondered, I always thought, man, back then that it probably was easy for them. They didn't have TV and cell phones, but obviously it wasn't. And I'll say, it's hard for me to be patient and endure now because so many times I can just type it in and get whatever I need. But church, be patient. Labor hard. Endure. Renew your mind. One of the verses that I love, and when we talked about becoming a pastor and I first got brought on here Connect, I went through a lot of Paul's letters, especially Timothy and Titus, but in Philippians, you get to see one of Paul's prayers for the people. In chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. It sounds a lot like 1 Corinthians 13, which is right after, obviously, chapter 12, but it talks about the love chapter, which the focus of all these gifts turns in chapter 13. It says, love is the most appropriate thing. It says that you may love, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellence, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. I love this prayer as a shepherd, as we see Paul. And I've prayed this a lot this week for y'all and for myself. The prayer is not for me to become the most discerning person, but it's for us that we would grow as a church of love, that we would grow in the knowledge of who God is so that we can discern all the more, discern what is true the leaders to push up and to follow after, to support? How to use finances? What success and failure looks like? I'll say that's one of the biggest issues in the church today is we don't know what biblical success is. I love things that are going on in the Western church today, and I think it's awesome in so many cases, but we automatically define success by this one area when really the success is always done in the background. It's going to be the things that we never, ever see, but we get to see the fruit of the labor. We're just going to see all that hard work that comes beforehand. I always tell people, as we've talked about graduation, and they go, man, this has been successful, this has been successful. I was like, ask me in 5 years if this has been successful. And I always tell new student ministers, this is how you know if you've been successful. How many of those students are discipling and multiplying after college? Or after trade school or whatever they do in their early 20s? Success is not defined in 5 minutes. But discerning and understanding that success is the discipleship tree that's left behind. It's understanding how wisdom and knowledge works. Testing the prophets, the things that are being spoken and taught. And I love that when in 1 Kings, when Saul is talking to God and he's like, hey, or Solomon, not Saul, and God goes, what do you want, Solomon's man? I just want wisdom, knowledge, and discernment to lead the people well. To do the work of God. Is that our prayer? Is our prayer to seek the Lord and to have knowledge and discernment and wisdom so that we can glorify God with the rest of the body? Or is it just, man, I hope someone tells me what to do? I hope that our leaders do a good job. I hope they don't fail. Just heads up, at some point we probably will fail. Or at least I will. Pastor Jay's perfect, so he may not. But I'll tell you, I'll fail. I love that we sang center of it all because the pastor is not the center of the church. That cross is not the center of the church. This building is not the center of the church. It's Jesus is the center of the church. And if we can't see that, we have failed. So as the band comes out, my prayer for you and for us is that we would grow in these gifts. And again, if you don't know how to use these gifts, and we've talked about these gifts quite a bit, I'll have my computer outside. We have a spiritual gifts test on the website. I'll put my computer up for you if you want to go use it. But again, we have to start using these gifts. I love that we've talked about them and that you've got to hear about them. I hope this has been a wonderful blessing for you. But if we do nothing after this, there's a problem. Because we need people who have the gift of discernment. We need those people who have spiritual and godly wisdom. Who have the gift of faith. We have healing and prayer. Don't be afraid of what's to come. If we're comfortable in our faith, I think there's an issue. In the sense of like, oh yeah, I'm good right where I'm at, but God keeps pushing us to grow farther and farther. And a lot of people don't like these gifts because it does take them outside of their comfort zone. But that's a good thing. Because it is the Spirit that has given them, not you doing anything special. Don't rely on yourself, but rely on the Spirit that gives the gift. God, as we come before you, God, I just ask for boldness in our lives to use the gifts well. Holy Spirit, come. God, we always ask that there'd be revival and that a fire would come. God, but let it begin in our own individual hearts. God, may revival come to us each individually. Speak to us, Father. We ask these things.